naturally, he wanted to know what is our focus, what is our, let us say, intention in having this retreat, in order to prepare accordingly. And I said to him that I feel that we should have retreats, and there are certainly other retreats who serve this purpose also, that I've very strongly felt we should have retreats that answers the question or the need of devotees to go deeper in Krishna consciousness. And those presentations which are given should cater to that particular need. And as I was looking for speakers, I really could, I really was convinced that Hari Parshad would be the right person. We also had another speaker who really appreciated being on this retreat. He said, I'm learning so much, but I said, you have also contributed so much. It was His Holiness Keshava Maharaj, but he is just not able to make this due to many and an increasing number of other commitments. So this is our purpose. We wish to help you to go deeper. I always think we are complementing each other. Hari Parshad will be able to bring you very deeper in the philosophy. He is a Sanskrit scholar, and he is personally relishing the works of Rupa Goswami more than anything, but his ability is to go into the details, and he has always asked these difficult questions and really researched to find answers. And my, let me say, slant or my emphasis is on providing a Krishna conscious experience, mainly through the holy name, through ways how we might enter into remembering Krishna and not forget in practical ways, practical meditations, and also Krishna Katha and so on. So yes, we are coming together, and we feel very happy in each other's company, and we want to do this. I would like to say that such a retreat is not possible to give without you as an audience, and I do know many are either in airplanes, some are perhaps in parachutes, just finding their way to Goloka Dham, ships, trains, cars, and are coming. We are just starting today. I think there will be a very good group again there, and I would like to first of all introduce you to the Eastern Retreat. I will briefly tell you what I'm going to speak about, and then request Hari Parshad Prabhu to give you an introduction or entry into his subject matters. But let me first start, how do we learn anything? It would be our desire, and perhaps mostly also your desire, that this is not just for providing informations to you, that you hear another nice retreat and afterwards say nice, and life as usual consumes or swallows you. No. These retreats should equip you with the nice maybe new methods, new sadhanas, new understandings, new inspiration. And therefore, in the beginning, let us ask the question, how do we learn anything, we human beings? How especially do we learn spiritual subjects? I will quote to you a verse which Hari Parshad gave in the last Sharanagati retreat, and it struck me, and I have thought about this, but the verse tells it so nicely. The first way to learn something is to hear from a guru or from a spiritual, advanced speaker. No? This is how we learn, by hearing. But that's only how we learn 25% of what we later can call our knowledge. The next 25% are learned by discussions. Discussions with fellow students who are on the spiritual path. Here, during the Eastern retreat, I really request you that take advantage of this powerful tool of learning. Talk to each other, digest, ask questions to each other, move the subjects around. 25% of what you will know at the end will come from that. No. Sometimes I feel in retreats we have a wow effect when we hear lectures or presentations or kirtans, and then we go out of the temple room and fall back into our usual patterns of thinking and speaking. That's better than nothing, but it would be more helpful if we continue to discuss about spiritual subjects. The next 25% is following totally into your responsibility. It is self-study. The Sanskrit word is svadaya. That is very important, that you sit down with a book or listen to a recorded lecture and study it on your own. Stop perhaps at times when the speaker would go on. When you listen to something on the internet, you can put it on the pause bottom. This is why I prefer listening to recorded lectures, because you would never think of stopping a speaker when he speaks. But then I can put the pause and I can reflect and can say, oh yes, Prabhupada also said something like this. Oh yes, I read in this Bhagavatam during my Bhagavad reading, I think it was in the third canto, somewhere around the 20th chapter, where I read. Let me go now and refresh my insights and so on. Self study, very important. And the remaining 25%, 25% we learn from what? Hearing from a guru or a speaker who is empowered. The other 25% comes, we discuss with fellow students. The next, now we are with 50%, now the next 25 by self-study. And the remaining, someone has thrown this already into the audience, this was absolutely correct, is within time. Within time we mature. Within time, we hopefully have experiences of the spiritual kind. Within time, we are sometimes becoming more humble. Yes. Within time, important things happen that are necessary for our comprehension. It's not that only our intellectual capacities need to understand. Other capacities, like our devotional mind, need to also understand. So these are the four ways in which you learn. I think it might help you a little to make your time valuable. You can do all the first three here from the guru and speakers. You can discuss with fellow students. You can also reflect on your own in a self-study on what you have heard. And time you can't push. Time is under the Lord's control. It will move as He wishes. Good. Now I would like to talk about my emphasis in teaching. I have to now look a little at the wristwatch because time is also there. Yeah, I still have. My emphasis since the last, I would say, 20 years, my personal emphasis has to improve my inner life and purity. I've done a few things to do that and so on. And since perhaps 5 years, I feel called to talk about an aspect of Krishna consciousness, which we could call the inner life of a devotee. No, not just the external performances, dressing, performing certain endeavors and feats and so on, but what is how can we improve our own inner life? And I found out the example of devotees who have walked the path before us and given us examples from their own life what the inner life might look like is very useful for this. There's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam. Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam samadashanam anuvrajam yaham nityam pujayet yangri renubi. Krishna speaks here about his devotees, and you will know from this verse how much we can learn from the devotees. He says, with the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds, which are all situated within me. So Krishna doesn't personally, if you so wish, directly purify the three worlds. He has his devotees, and he comes into the hearts of the devotees, and in this way he acts. And then he says, thus I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes. I myself follow the footsteps of my pure devotees. These devotees are peaceful. They have no feelings of enmity towards others and are of equal disposition everywhere. So Krishna says, these devotees, they are doing my work. They walk through this world and they teach by their example so that we can follow them. So one very, very unusual devotee who really shakes us when we listen to his, or see his life and listen to his teachings is Kabir. Kabir, the legends say, was born by a Brahmin lady before her marriage. She must have had a romantic encounter with someone. And when she gave birth to her son, she was so ashamed and afraid that her good reputation would be spoiled, that she put him near a lake as a little infant and left him to his fortunes. A childless couple, the wife was called Nur Ali and the man was called Nimjan, found him. These were Muslims. And when they found this little boy, they thought, since we cannot have any child, maybe this is Allah's mercy upon us, that he gave us our son in this way. So they took him and they brought him to the Molana, the priest, or Molvi is another way to say it, and asked him to give a name. Now, as it is common in the tradition of the Muslims, they base everything on the Bhagavatam, no? On the Quran. We base everything on the Bhagavatam. So the priest leafed through the pages of the Quran and stopped at a name, at a page, and there was one name of Allah, Kabir, which means the greatest. He said, I can't give this boy of unknown origin this name of Allah, so let me try again. And he looked at the page, and the only name of Allah which was on that page was Kabir. Said, no, I just can't do this. And he again started to leaf through the pages when the lady, you know, of the couple said, it is Kabir. That's the will of Allah. So he became known as Kabir. And he grew up in this family and became a weaver and so on of cloth. Let me see. Later he became somewhat enlightened. It is described he chanted the name of Ram from the morning to the evening and throughout the night and developed symptoms of love. And then he said, if you have any love for God in your heart, it doesn't matter what you wear or where you stay, at home or in the forest, and you have love of God, it doesn't matter. You are fine. You have reached everything. But he also said, what happens when you don't have love of God? He said, so many people study the scriptures, the Hindu scriptures and the Islamic scriptures. But I say, they only need to know two syllables. If they don't know these two syllables, they might miss what the scriptures say. These two syllables are pray, ma, love. As he was weaving, he composed amazingly powerful poems. One is my favorite poem. You know, he was weaving, that is moving the, I don't know in English language, the chiffon, you know, the thing back and forth, and was chanting Ram, 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 Ram. And from this he thought, isn't that we all weave our activities, and at the end of our life we have weaved one cloth. But I have not weaved a cloth out of my karmic activities. He said, Lord, I weave the cloth of your name. The fruitless work of weaving for the world has come to an end for me. I have attained the dazzling state of blissful remembrance. Free from fear, free from pain, I'm the viva, O Lord, of thy name. Is this beautiful, no? Free from fear, free from pain, I'm the viva, O Lord, of your name. I weave and I gain the profit of an inner relationship with you. I am the weaver of the Lord's name. There are many things described from the incidents of his life, but I want to make it brief. The Muslims didn't like him and the Hindus didn't like him. And they went, the brahmanas and the priests, Muslim priests, went to Shikhanda Lodi. Shikhanda Lodi, he was a powerful ruler. And when someone would say things like, Allah and Bhagavan are the same, he would cut them at places, he would have them cut, and then pull the skin from their body while they were screaming in agony. So Shikhanda Lodi called Kabir to appear in court. And he said, we have heard you talking this dangerous philosophy. As he was looking at Kabir, he was growing irritated. Kabir was just standing there. Everyone and anyone who came into Shikhanda Lodi's court bowed down to him. So he stopped. One of the ministers went to Kabir, bow down, quickly bow down, don't angry the merciful king. Kabir remained standing. You are not knowing how to behave before a king, said Shikhanda Lodi. And Kabir said, I only know one Lord. He's known as Allah and Bhagavan. And he is the only one who can give us shelter. Shikhanda Lodi thought, oh my God, if this is a true saint and I punish him, I mean, this takes some courage and some conviction to say only the Lord who is known as Allah and Bhagavan can give shelter. And he said, enough with these crazy talks, you may go. But again, the brahmanas and the priests complained because Kabir said something like, you have moved so many malas, so many your japa, but your character has not transformed. When will you move the mala of your mind? Means internal practice. When will you be fully focused and concentrated? So again, there was complaint because he used to say such things. Fearless. And Shikhanda Lodi called him again. I'm sorry, I will have to punish you now. So Kabir looked around and the smile appeared on his lips. And the king said, why are you smiling now? It will be very difficult for you in a few minutes. Why are you smiling? I'm smiling, says Kabir, because for the first time I see Hindu brahmanas and Muslim priests together talking like friends, like they always should do. They seem to be in one mind how to deal with a devotee of the Lord. He won't talk like this. So she kind of, Lodi said, enough, enough, enough. We have listened enough to you. Bring the chains. The people brought the chains and they put him in a river. But the river carried Kabir, who was chanting, Ram, 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 to the bank of the river, and the chains fell off. Shiganda Lodi said, we also have magicians in our religion. Throw them into fire. He thought it was just like a magical trick. And he was thrown into the fire and he chanted, Ram, 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 Ram. Yeah, different than you. He chanted with love, you know. he chanted with his mind. Everything was involved. So the fire came down and everyone thought they would see now a burnt human being. But he was gleaming like gold, melted gold. Shiganda Lodi said, bring the elephant. So they took him, put him down. They made an elephant very, very upset by goading him with sharp instruments. The elephant was driven towards Kabir to trample him to death. But as he was coming closer, that's how it's described, Kabi, who was chanting, Ram, 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 was sitting, not moving, but all of a sudden there was the elephant turned around and ran away in fear. Kabir's comment said, my Ram is also in the heart of the elephant. He's everywhere. And he's the only one who to give shelter. Kabir was released by Shikanda Lodi. Shikanda Lodi offered him lands and villages from which he could have lived. But he said, I only need one shelter, the shelter of my Ram. Kabir chose to be buried in a valley which was absolutely rejected by the Hindus. It was a valley where only Muslims lived who were non-vegetarians. No? At that time when Kabir felt my time has come, he became quite old, more than 100 years. He went into the valley and he told the people of Kashi or Varanasi, when Ram is in the heart, then hell becomes heaven. But when Ram is not in the heart, heaven can become hell. So he went there. When he felt his time was coming, he spread a clean cloth and put some maha flowers from the worship of Lord Ram down, and then he laid in the midst of the flowers and with a happy smile chanted
Ram, Ram, Ram,
and
Ram.
Left. What do you think? Isn't it thought-provoking? So these are the devotees of the Lord. They will argue to say to you, it doesn't matter what you dress. It doesn't matter where you are. Look at your heart. And the heart is changed by remembering Krishna and not forgetting him. And that is what is one of the lessons that spells out. Anyways, you see, I have so many more details here, but it's maybe in the lectures we will go back. I want to thank you very much for listening. This will be my... I want to make you little Kabirs at the Eastern Region. retreat, or let us say, not like this. I want to help you that you develop a very strong inner life that will remain unshaken in the midst of changing times. Thank you very much. And now we want to turn to our Hari Parshat Prabhu. Hari Parshat Prabhu, I welcomed you already in my room this, or actually yesterday when we met in the freezing cold. It's very nice that you have come again. I will be in all your lectures with my notebook. I have a new notebook for this purpose. And welcome, welcome, welcome. Maybe you can now address us and give us either a tune in to your subjects or what is on your mind.
Thank you, Maharaj. Dear devotees, I am very thankful to His Holiness Shachinandan Swami Maharaj that in 2023 was the first year that Maharaj kindly extended an invitation for myself to speak, and obviously to invite somebody, a new person, is obviously a risk. Maharaj took a very big risk. I am thankful, Maharaj, that every year you are taking this risk.
It's a well-informed decision, I guess.
And I remember that my own Guru Maharaj, Sri Srimad Radha Govinda Das Goswami Maharaj, he spoke many gathas in many places around the world. But when he would go to his village, that is when he would speak katha, which was closest to his heart. And I have no hesitation in saying that there are many places around the world where I go and I try to speak, but I have felt most understood in Goloka Dham. It's like a village.
Yes.
Oh, it is a village.
In the forest.
So, the difference that I have found in this particular wonderful place, Goloka Dham, is that there is one particular quality which I feel that exists between the speaker and the audience, and that is deep vishwas, deep confidence between the speaker and the audience in a mood of friendship. Sakya. I have said this often, that the ideal audience is one who looks upon the speaker in a mood of sakya, in a mood of friendship. Because sometimes you have an audience who looks upon the speaker in a mood of dasya, that we are lower than the speaker. So whatever the speaker says, we will accept it as it is without any questioning. And then there is audience in the mood of a senior, that we'll check what he is speaking. And if he makes a mistake in the class, we'll raise our hands after the class and we'll point it out to him. So I'm sure many of you who have spoken while sitting on a Vyasasana might have experienced these types of audience. But with friends, you know that your mistakes will be tolerated, and then you are free to speak what you want to speak. So therefore, here I am. I know in every retreat, although Maharaj never told me, but internally I know Maharaj will tolerate at least 3 mistakes from my side. But I'll try not to make a mistake. But dear devotees, On this particular retreat, I'd like to speak upon a topic which is the crooked pathways of prema. And this particular topic I had in my mind for a few years, which I wanted to speak, but this time I got the opportunity to speak. Before we speak anything, it is Shishta Parampara, tradition established by the previous Acharyas, that we should perform Mangalacharan and we should sing something. This Mangalacharan we will perform so that everything goes good within the retreat and that there are no obstacles on our path. So I'll sing these verses. Most of us know these verses. You can kindly sing along with me.
Om Jnana Tinirandrasya Jnana Anjana Shravaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Ramayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Guru Vamsagra Jatam Sahagana Gunaham Vitam Tamsa Jeevam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pascharya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Trishe Nama He Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Dada Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Ade Vrinda Vrishwari Vrishnavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Vancha kalpata ruyasya kripa sindhu yayevacha Adhikaranam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki Jai Gaur Premanande. So dear devotees, any person who sits behind the mic and the camera, obviously they are being watched and recorded. It's a difficult situation for them. So we need Mangalacharan, so that the speaker feels that he is not an orphan. The mercy of the Guru Parampara is behind them, and therefore by the strength of the Guru Parampara they can speak something. Not only that, the speaker also needs an audience, and this audience should be very like-minded, exactly like friends. And as I said, for me, particularly Golok Dham is the place where I found the most like-minded audience. There are many close friends who I have met every year, and I know that whatever I speak will be understood in the correct mood. And it's only once a year that I get to come here and speak. And the rest of the year, often I think about Golok Dham. And I think about all the wonderful devotees that I meet in Golokadham every year. And the wonderful organization which is done by Gaurahari Prabhu, Valentina Mataji, all the wonderful devotees, Vaijayanti Mataji, every year, so many devotees helping. And all this is my reminiscence for the rest of the year. And therefore, in the rest of the year also, I do not feel separated from Golokadham. And there's a very nice verse which comes to my mind. This verse is in the meter Indra Vajra, similar to the Mangalarti Guru Ashtakam. I'll sing, kindly repeat after me. Girau Mayura Gagane Payoda.
Girau Mayura Gagane Payoda.
Lakshantare Kascha Jaleshu Padmam.
Lakshantare Kascha Jaleshu Padmam.
Indur Dhilakshe Kumudasya Bandhu. Says Girau Mayura, the peacocks are on the mountains, Gagane Payoda, whereas the dearmost friend of the peacock, and dear devotees, who is the dearmost friend of the peacock? The rain cloud. So dear devotees, the dark rain clouds is far away in the sky, but as soon as the peacock sees its dear friend, something happens. What happens, dear devotees? The peacock becomes happy and starts dancing. Laksha antarai arkascha jaleshu padvam. And then the verse says, the lotus is in the lake, whereas its friend, the sun, is 100,000 yojanas away, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. But dear devotees, as soon as the lotus sees its friend, what happens? Please tell me. Oh, wonderful. And then the verse is, Indur Dvilakshe. The moon is even further away, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. 200,000 yojanas away. But Kumudasya Bandhur, it has a very dear friend, far away, the night lily. And when the night lily sees the moon, full moon, what happens to the night lily, dear devotees? Oh, wonderful. What is the conclusion? Yo yasya mitram nahitasya duram. Those who are friends are never far away from each other. Dear devotees, this is what I feel when I am thinking about Golokadham for the rest of the year. So I am very thankful to each and every one of you who come here every year, because you are never far away from my heart. And especially, Maharaj occupies the central place.
Thank you. Thank you.
Whenever I am unhappy, I think about Maharaj, I become happy. It's that simple.
Wow. Thank you.
You take an unhappy person, give him memories of Shachinandan Maharaj, and you get a happy person.
Thank you.
So, this retreat is very special for me, and the devotees here are very special, because they are friends. And amongst friends, you don't have the worry of making mistakes. And that is the most, that is the best environment for any speaker to speak. And dear devotees, I too come here with this desire every year, the desire for genuine friendship. And even if some of you may think that this person is not worthy of friendship, but still history has told us that any person who comes with this desire should be accepted despite their faults. There's a very nice verse in the Valmiki Ramayana, and this verse is when Vibhishan comes to meet Bhagwan Ram after giving up his entire family. And when he comes to meet Bhagwan Ram saying that I'll be on your side, there are many ministers, Jambavant, Sugriv, etc., who have doubts about Vibhishan, saying that he is from the family of Asuras, and also he is from the opposite side. There are many defects in accepting such a friend. But Bhagwan Ram at that point of time says something, and this is recorded by Sri Valmiki Muni.
Mitra-bhavena-sampraptam
Natyajeyam-kathanchana
Dosho-yadyapi-tasya-syasya
Satam-etad-agarhitam
Mitra-bhavena-sampraptam. Anybody who has approached us with Mitra Bhav. Dear devotees, what is the meaning of Mitra Bhav? Can anyone tell me?
Friendship.
The mood of friendship. Natyajayam should not be given up kathanchana at any point of time. Dosho yadyapi tasya syat. Definitely he might have defects. Defects are tolerable, dear devotees. Who doesn't have defects in this particular world? And especially somebody such as myself, who is a Pandora's box of defects. But dosho yadyapi tasya syat, but still satam etad agarhitim, that even if such a person has defects, if they have a genuine mood of friendship, you kindly accept them. So here is what Bhagwan Ram says to everyone.
A person who has come to us with the mood of genuine friendship should never be abandoned in any way whatsoever. Even if that person has some defects, they should be accepted. This is the spotless conclusion of the saintly souls.
This verse is the mood with which I have arrived in Golokatha. So Maharaj, Mitra Bhavena Sampraptam. I have come here as a friend. Natyajayam, please do not give up on me. Dosho yadyapi tasya syat. Of course, while speaking, there may be so many defects. But satam etad agarhitam. This is the spotless path of the saintly souls. And of course, we are all here because there is one personality who binds us all together. The central thread of our society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And who is that personality, dear devotees?
Prabhupada.
And I remember my own Guru Maharaj, he once started speaking about Srila Prabhupada. And when he started speaking about Srila Prabhupada, he recounted a pastime from the Mahatmya, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Srimad Bhagavat Mahatmya, which is a literature glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, it is from the Padma Puran, there is a pastime where Narad Muni takes a great vow in front of Bhakti Devi. And Narad Muni sees in Kali Yuga that Bhakti Devi is extremely distressed because there is nobody who is willing to take to the path she has shown. And on seeing the great distress of Bhakti Devi, Narad Muni takes a personal vow, and this vow is described in the Padma Puran. Here is what Narad Muni told Bhakti Devi directly in the beginning of Kali Yuga. Kalina sadrishah kopi.
Kalina sadrishah kopi.
Yugo nasti varanane.
Yugo nasti varanane.
Tasmin stvam sthapayishyami.
Tasmin stvam sthapayishyami.
Gehe gehe jane jane.
Gehe gehe jane jane.
Almuni says, please don't worry. Kalina sadrishah kopi yugo nasti. I'll tell you, Bhakti Devi, there is no age comparable to one age. Which age is that, your devotees? Kali. Yugo nasti. There is no age comparable to Kali. And I promise you, tasmins tvam sthapayishyami. In this age of Kali, I will establish you personally. Gehe gehe. In each and every home. Jane jane. And in the hearts of each and every individual. I'll make sure you reach all the corners of this planet. And here is what Narad Muni promised her.
Oh, charming Bhakti Devi, there's no other age that can be compared to Kali Yuga. In this age, I will personally establish you in each and every home and within each and everyone's heart.
And he didn't stop there. He further said, Anya dharmaṃsti raskritya.
Anya dharmaṃsti raskritya.
Puraskritya mahotsavān.
Puraskritya mahotsavān.
Tadānāham harirdāso.
Tadānāham harirdāso.
Loke tvām na pravartaye.
Loke tvām na pravartaye.
Anya dharmaṃsti raskritya. If I don't keep aside all other forms of dharma, such as Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Puraskritya Mahotsavan, if I don't organize festivals and retreats personally, then I'll tell you, Bhakti Devi, Tada Anaham Harirdaso Loke Tvamna Pravartaye. If I personally don't come and propagate you, then know that I will no longer be known as a servant of Hari.
Wow.
So Narad Muni at that time took this vow. Kindly reprove.
O Bhakti Devi, neglecting all other paths of religiosity, if I do not propagate you all around the world in Kali Yuga by organizing various devotional festivals, then I shall no longer be known as a servant of Hari.
And then, dear devotees, my Guru Maharaj said, he was overcome with emotion. In a choked voice, he said, and it was Srila Prabhupada who fulfilled this vow of Narad Muni. And dear devotees, often those who were with Srila Prabhupada in the initial days, often there would be very few people who would come to the programs, and then when devotees would say, nobody came, and then Prabhupada would say, but Narad Muni was there, didn't you see? Narad Muni was there. Many of you might have heard this past time, but Prabhupada said, Narad Muni was there, didn't you see? He came. So therefore, dear devotees, we should glorify Srila Prabhupada. With your permission, I'd like to show a new verse of composition for glorifying Srila Prabhupada. So this is a newly composed Sanskrit verse in the meter Shardul Vikriditam. Same as Shad Goswami Ashtakam, I'll sing, kindly sing after me.
Anyan dharma padam nirasya bhagavan bhate galau tvamaham.
Anyan dharma padam nirasya bhagavan bhate galau tvamaham.
Sarvatra pradhayishya ityati dridham shrinayada svikritam. Sabharigridam harimudayena swagurvagyaya.
Sankalpam sabharigridam harimudayena swagurvagyaya.
Tam Srila Prabhupada mega manasa vandamahe sarvada.
Sarvada
अज्ञान धर्म पथान निरस्य भगवत भक्ते कलौ त्वामहम् सर्वत्र प्रतिष्य। The extremely firm vow taken by Narad Muni was that, O Bhakti, sidelining all other paths of dharma in this age of Kali, I shall exclusively propagate you everywhere. Sankalpam safali kritam harimude yena swa guru agya by the order of his guru, and harimude for the pleasure of Hari, yena, that personality who fulfilled this vow of Sri Narad Muni was tam Srila Prabhupadam, none other than Srila Prabhupada, and unto him ekamanasa, single-mindedly, we offer our obeisances at all points of time. So I'm very thankful that we have this central thread that binds all of us together in the form of Srila Prabhupada, and I'm very grateful that each and every temple, each and every community that exists around the world is fulfilling the vision of Narad Muni, the promise of Narad Muni, that I will organize festivals for you. And every festival that is organized is another step in the direction of fulfilling the vow that Narad Muni had taken for propagating Bhakti Devi. Now, dear devotees, as I told you, the topic is not a very straightforward topic. It doesn't, you know, you require a crooked person to give the topic. And so, does anybody know what is the name of the topic? The crooked path is a friend. And the person also who is giving the topic is suited for giving it because he is already crooked. And the background also you can see, all the branches. Are they straight or crooked? So dear devotees, I told you, I have friends here. They understand my mood and disposition. So they already prepared something according to the mood of my topic. Or maybe the branches were straight after I sat down here, they started. I don't know what has happened. So maybe they were straight earlier, and due to me coming near them, they have become like this. But anyways, we'll begin with a statement by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says something in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, 4th chapter. Please read.
Nothing is purer than Sri Radha's love, but its behavior is always perverse and crooked.
In the English language, there is a term, moralist. Moralist means somebody who always upholds strict vows, somebody who never speaks any lies, and somebody who always sticks to the path of dharma. And dear devotees, if there is any personality whom we are reminded of, when we think of the term moralist, which personality is that?
Sri Ram.
And the opposite of moralist is libertine. Libertine is somebody who never fulfills his vows, speaks lies, and often engages in things which ordinary society cannot even dream about. So dear devotees, which personality comes to your mind? Wonderful. And all of you have decided to become devotees of Sri Ram or Sri Krishna? So welcome to the seminar, alright? You've already signed up for crookedness. In the Narad Bhakti Sutra, the nature of prema, or the nature of love of Krishna, and the love that Krishna has for his devotees is described. In a few sutras, kindly repeat after me. Anirvachaniyam,
Anirvachaniyam,
Prema Swarupam,
Prema Swarupam.
So Sri Narad Muni says, Anirvachaniyam, Prema Swarupam. The nature of prema is beyond description. Everything in the world can be described in simple, straightforward words, but there is prema. If you try to describe it, you will run into many contradictions and you will not be able to fully describe this prema at any point of time. The entire path is very crooked and it is not a straightforward one. Dear devotees, dharma can be described in shastra. Therefore, we have dharma shastras. Artha, economics, can be described in shastra. Kama, fulfillment of sense gratification, can also be described in shastra. And believe it, moksha, liberation, can also be described in shastra. But there is something which cannot fit within the boundaries of shastra. And which entity is that? And although many scriptures have tried to define it, ultimately all definitions fall short. And therefore Narad Muni says, please repeat, Mukha Svadhanavat.
Mukha Svadhanavat.
It is exactly like Mukha Aswadhana, exactly like a mute person's attempts to describe the taste of wonderful food. You cannot describe prema. Now, dear devotees, I'd like to ask from some of the younger devotees, alright? Because often the acharyas give examples from the material world to explain a spiritual subject matter. So, some of the younger devotees, how many of you have experienced love? Please raise your hands. See, nobody, they are all Hare Krishnas. Nobody experienced love? Oh, okay, yes, then we have Bhagavatam Prabhu. Wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji. You are my friend. So, Bhagavad Dharma Prabhu, nobody here raised their hands. If one of them comes to you and says, please give me a formula how to fall in love.
You
want me
to answer?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's very personal, but I experienced very great love from Shiva Sachinana Maharaj.
Oh.
I would say, just go there, you will experience love.
Okay, okay. Yeah. No, I'm speaking about love.
I'm speaking about real. Okay.
For the time being. Let's come to the material one first sometime. So, if somebody has experienced love in the material world and another person asks them, give me a formula in which I too can experience. Is there a fixed way in which I too can experience? Please tell me, dear devotees, is there a fixed formula for experiencing love in this world? And if somebody asks you, how did you feel when you fell in love? So then the answer will be Mukha Svadhanavat. Alright? That is the answer Narad Muni is giving. It is like a mute person's attempts to describe the taste of wonderful food. Words will fall short. So this is the closest description that we can have in order to understand how prema works. Sri Rupa Goswami also gives examples from the material world. Yuvati naam yatha yuni, yunam cha yuvatav yatha. Exactly as a young boy's mind is attracted to a young girl and a young girl's mind is attracted to a young boy. Mano me ramatam tvai. Let my mind also be attracted towards you. So these references from the material world help us understand, get a small glimpse into the nature of prema. Now, dear devotees, in ordinary life, most of us walk on the path of mati. Please repeat the term, mati. Mati is, we use our intelligence and we use what Shastra tells us to have a proper life. But when you walk on the path of prema, Mati has to take a back seat, and then there is something which is called, please repeat, Rati. Rati is what the heart feels. So when the first casualty of prema is Mati, that one is not able to take to the path of intelligence, rationale and shastra. Because Rati is not a path which can be followed by intelligence, rationale and the strict dictates of shastra. Therefore, these two distinct approaches, first is Mati, which is the path of shastric behavior governed by intelligence. This path is very good because it protects us from adharma. And most individuals in the world should follow this path. But especially for the followers of one particular personality, there is the other path. And what is the name of the other path, dear devotees? And this personality is shown on the right hand side. It is the path of Rati is not for the common individuals of the world. It is only meant for those who understand the mood of Mahaprabhu and what he came to give to this world. The entire world walks on Mati Patha, the path of intelligence and shastric rules and regulations. But it is Mahaprabhu who taught us Rati Patha, the path of prema, where you are guided by the heart more than you are guided by the head. This doesn't mean that on the path of Rati you stop following shastra. Of course, we have to follow shastric injunctions at all times. But on the path of Rati, a person gives more importance to the direct personal interactions that they wish to have with Bhagavan Shri Krishna and his associates. The path of taste, the path of heart is more important for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than the path of Mati, the path of strict shastric injunctions. And therefore, only in an audience which is truly dedicated to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's path can I express these things, nowhere else. Dear devotees, I will give a small glimpse about this path. As I said, is the path straight or crooked?
Crooked.
And now, I will give one small example so that we get an entry. And tomorrow we'll begin. Dear devotees, would you like to start exploring the crooked path?
Yes.
Wonderful. Once you enter, there is no coming out. Alright? So you have been warned in the very beginning. Once you enter, you will not be able to come out. So you are sitting here at your own risk. And Maharaj invited me at his risk. So, and I am risk free, I will go back to Mumbai. Alright? So dear devotees, if you would like to explore the crooked path, please say aloud Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Wonderful. So everybody is properly brainwashed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can now begin. Dear devotees, the first deviation on the path of prema occurs because you have to break shastric injunctions in order to follow this path. You actually cannot really, you cannot follow strictly shastra if you stay on this path. Because the shastra will tell you something, Mati. Please remember these two terms, Mati and
Rati.
Mati will tell you what the Upanishad say. Satyam vada,
satyam vada,
dharmam chara,
dharmam chara.
Please read the translation for me.
Speak the truth, follow dharma.
Satyam vada, speak the truth. Dharmam chara, follow the path of dharma. Now let's take the first sentence. Satyam Vada. Please tell me, according to the path of Mati, shouldn't this statement be followed as it is in our lives? Yes or no? The Vedas have arisen from the breathing of Bhagavan Shri Krishna. Satyam Vada. And Bhagavan Shri Krishna loves all of his devotees. He has a lot of prema. But dear devotees, does our Bhagavan follow his own instruction? Please tell me. So how confidently you said. Isn't it? You have such confidence in the crookedness of your Bhagavan. That instead of saying yes, you said no. Of course. And dear devotees, Srila Prabhupada would define who is an acharya. You know? An acharya is somebody who practices what he preaches. So our acharya of the Bhagavad Gita is not very simple. I am putting it in very mild words. Right? Acharya of the Bhagavad Gita is not very simple. It is, he himself gives the definition of acharya, he himself gives injunctions in Shastra, and he personally is free from all the injunctions. And dharmam chara, dear devotees, please repeat after me. Dharmam chara.
Dharmam chara.
And please repeat, follow dharma.
Follow dharma.
Please raise your hands. How many of us would like to follow this injunction? Please raise your hands. Path of Mati, yeah. The same Bhagavan will tell you what you need to do in order to find prema. Sarva dharman parityajya.
Sarva dharman parityajya.
Mamekam
sharanam vraja. Mamekam
sharanam
vraja.
Giving up all varieties of dharma, surrender exclusively unto me.
Yeah. Now, dear devotees, at that time, we should have bought up this statement. Because you yourself said, dharmam chara, in the Upanishads, follow the path of dharma. And now you are saying, sarva dharman parityajya. Give up all dharma. And mam ekam sharanam braja. And there is a deep meaning hidden behind this statement. That in order to take shelter of you, you first need to give up all dharma, dear devotees. Isn't it? So please tell me, the first statement is from the path of Mati, but the second statement is from the path of Mati. Now dear devotees, it is such a path that in the very beginning, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is telling you, give up all varieties of dharma. Now this doesn't mean that we become adharmic. What he means to say is, give up your attachment to the so-called protocols of dharma, even to varnashram dharma, and in your mind always consider prema to be superior to all varieties of dharma. Prema will save you where even varnashram will not be able to. And I'll give you an example of this. I recently gave this example that when Draupadi was humiliated in the assembly of the Kauravas and she appealed to all the elders to rescue her, did any of the Kshatriyas who were sitting there come to her rescue? Please tell me. Yes or no?
No.
What were they following?
Dharma.
Why? Because she has already been won by the Kauravas, so they own her. And now we cannot say anything against the Kauravas. Bhishma was there, one of the Mahajanas. Did Bhishma stand up and protest at that point of time?
No.
Because Bhishma Dev was giving more emphasis to dharma. And the fate of all those who followed so-called dharma was sealed on that day. Isn't it? But there was one Shudra who stood up. And who was that?
Vidur.
In an assembly of Brahmanas, where Kripacharya and Dronacharya were there, no Brahmana stood up. Where Kshatriyas were present, no Kshatriya stood up. But one Shudra stood up for Dharma, for the real Dharma, because that Shudra, he had something within his heart for Bhagavan Shri Krishna. And the devotees, what did he have in his heart? So dear devotees, prema will save you where dharma will not be able to save you. And therefore, it's very important to understand that this path of prema was given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is our duty to learn this path. Because there are many who will still say that we want to follow the strict path of dharma that has been given to us. Yes, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami never deviated even a tiny millimeter from the path of dharma where it was favorable to prema. But whenever they found that any so-called dharma is not favorable to prema, then they did not hesitate to even neglect such dharma. So therefore, we follow dharma as long as it is favorable to prema. We follow mati as long as it is favorable to rati. This is the pristine conclusion of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. We are not in favor of discarding mati. And it would be a terrible misfortune if we discard rati. What will we do with mati after discarding rati? But we would like to have that rati which is favorable to mati, and that mati which is favorable to rati. Dear devotees, therefore with this I just gave you an entry into the crooked path. But just because the path is crooked, please don't think that it will hurt you. Because sometimes the very term crooked gives us an impression that we are not going to like it. Oh, you will have a very great time. All the great associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are walking on the path. And they will help you feel immense happiness within your heart. And we will see this over the next few days. But I have a sincere prayer to all the sadhus before I conclude my words. Gacchatah skhalanam kvapi,
gacchatah skhalanam kvapi,
bhavadyeva pramadatah,
bhavadyeva pramadatah,
santi durjanastatra,
santi durjanastatra,
samadadati sadhavah,
samadadati sadhavah.
Gacchatah skhalanam kvapi. While walking, it often happens skhalanam, that we slip on the path. Now, how many of us while walking have slipped on a path? Please raise your hands. Oh wow, everybody. While walking on a straight path, you often slip. And we are trying to walk on a crooked path. Definitely it is possible. I'll try my best not to slip. But if I slip accidentally, if I say something which you don't like, bhavati eva pramadata, sometimes due to inattention, some things like this happen. Hasanti durjanastatra, when somebody sleeps on the road, there may be people, critical people who may laugh. But samadadati sadhava, but sadhus like all of you will pick up that person who has slipped down. Alright, so I hope that all the sadhus, especially Maharaj, will pick me up in case I slip on the crooked path while describing it. Alright, here is the translation.
While walking on a pathway, it's inevitable that at some point of time we may slip. At that time, the critics may certainly laugh, but sadhus such as all of you, certainly help in picking up the fallen person.
So dear devotees, this is my only prayer. I come as a friend, and I'm very happy to be here. From tomorrow onwards, we'll start walking around some of the crooked pathways of prema. The branches have already become crooked, and the speaker is already crooked. So you have the perfect combination. Welcome to the Easter Retreat 2026. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Hare Hare Bo. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I think this deserves a good applause from our side. Very, very promising. We are very eager. Thank you, Hari Parshad. We here in the world, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. and in some ways, you know, our life in Krishna consciousness, have you noted? It is a little different than you planned. No, Krishna has made you walk ways that were unexpected. So we are very, very eager to learn how to... get to know first of all the bends and curves and so on, and then to know how to walk. I thank you very much. We will soon close this session, but I want to now prepare you a little for the coming retreat. Can I please request you to find a neighbor for a sharing exercise? I will go with Hari Parshad. Please find one. I know some of you are introvert and they, oh no, now I have to speak. Don't worry, it is not difficult. It will help you to loosen up and get ready. No, so find a partner, please. It doesn't need to be a super, you won't be asked to speak about the most confidential things in the last week or something like this, no? Okay, have all of you found a neighbor? Who has not yet found a neighbor? I think, yes. Toshita, you can also join a group of two and so on. Yes. All right. Ready? Ready, Matajis? We are ready to go? My dear devotees, it is seen in life that the way you enter into an effort, the sankalpa, if you so want, will decide really where you will go. Like when you do a Govardhan Parikrama and you fix in your mind that I want to finish this, even if my feet are a little bit tired after some time, when you are connected with a fixed determination, it will be very easy for you. In the same way, when you go on a retreat and you have made fixed a determination in your mind what you are going to do on the retreat, it will be very easy to do this, even if, say, in one evening you ate too much and in the morning you would just like to stay all day in bed, you know. But when you have made a sankalpa, you would say, no, let me at least come to for the first presentation. And you will see how at that time your intention, your declaration, what you will do in a moment here, will be your best friend and energize and help you. So I would like to first ask a question to all of you groups, and then you have to briefly talk about it. I will have a wristwatch with me. We will have not more than 2 minutes time, and we have to really bring out the subjects.
I'll put the watch.
Oh, you have, okay. Oh, very good, very good. So So the first question to each one of your groups of two is, where do you wish to be at the end of this retreat that is different from where you are now? I'm talking of insights which you might like to have, perhaps a clearer perspective, how you can improve your spiritual practice. Maybe things as simple as, I do want to put more into more the favorable practices in my life and want to avoid the things which are no longer helpful for me. No? Where do you wish, what inner shift do you want to have by the end of this retreat? Please start now. Maybe you have to think first, result or end or outcome or experience which you crave for. What mindset will help you? Or for instance, maybe more humility, maybe a service attitude, more an openness to hear subjects that are new for you. A curiosity or how will you get you there means also what small concrete actions will you take, will you perhaps try to get up a little bit earlier than you normally get when you are getting up at 12 o'clock every day in the noontime. joking. I know every one of you are early to rise. Or will you have a more full participation? Will you maybe pace yourself and come to specific programs and drop others so that you're well rested? The second question is, how will you get there? What mindset will support you? What small concrete actions will you take? Please start now. Sharing, no? Think maybe a minute, not a minute. We will come to the last question. That is, my retreat Sankalpa. This last question I wish you to not share with another person. If you want, you of course you can do this. But to write it down, perhaps in your mobile telephone, or if you are a note taker in your notebook, what do you wish to do? And then you can review this throughout the retreat. It will give you a little peace of mind. But I think you like to share, especially when you are in a Mataji body, so please do this. But the idea, this is really for you, no? So my retreat Sankalpa is, I will, for instance, write down, I will be very prepared for my classes, I will try to relate to the classes, I will try to relate to you in an understandable way and give, and like this, so I have a few, and I will participate as much as I can in the various programs, which I think Gaurav Hari, will detail. Good. So start now. My retreat Sankalpa is, you can write it down. Mobile telephone is good. You want to review it. It should be inspiring, no? Ramdas, when you wake up in the morning, no internet thing, what did he write? But my retreat Sankalpa, and then you shoot out of bed like Neil Armstrong, Hare Krishna, please do this now. You will have 2 to 3 minutes for this. It can be very brief. Yeah. Yes, what your sankalpa, your intention is, no? What you wish to do. Like, I will try to eat less so that I'm more present in the classes, or something, you know, what is in your level of another. Or I will, I wish to scratch on the surface of Baba, you know. You have 30 more seconds. 25. Those who know me laugh because I'm not the man of punctuality, so. Please come to an end now. Thank you. I hope you found this helpful. It helped me very much when I shared and learned from the other person. Fine. Let me now end before the session, before I will ask Gaurahari to come. I give an annual retreat in a place which I will not disclose, and participants who come there, they always think this is now the time where we need to be there for the Mangal Arati. We have there a Mangal Arati at 4:30, and then 5 o'clock is the start of the japa. And the participants are mostly working. They have a total different rhythm. They come to the Mangal Arati, and then I see them nodding off in the kirtans and in the lectures, and I tell them, Prabhus, Matajis, this is not a contest in who gets up the earliest. If you are tired, I know when Prabhupada saw me so tired in his class, I had raised myself, I stood up, I went to the wall and leaned, but I always saw the floor rushing towards me. In other words, I was falling. When Prabhupada saw my struggle, he said so compassionate, take rest, you know. He just looked at me and say, take rest, you know, because there is little benefit in being so sleep deprived. So you please, my dear devotees, pace yourself. It is nice if you can greet the deities early in the morning, but you will have also another chance to greet them when there is a darshan artik. I recommend that you are latest in the temple room, latest, it's nice to come for the darshan arti. It's 7:15, is it? Am I correct? 7:15. Then there is a short guru puja, and then we start with the lectures at 7:45. Am I correct? So it's good if you make it at 7:30 latest, but if you are tired, especially on the first day, then I would say the super late, the super is for the lectures at 7:45, no? And if you don't make it, there will be no consequence. I'm joking. I am. Of course, you know. But you came here for the retreat. I wish you a wonderful retreat. I myself very curious. This, Prabhuji, let us pause for a moment and say, this is, we live in a time which is economically challenging. I see that when we drive with the car, my God, the prices have gone double. What happened to Germany's economy, you know? And then I remember the Middle East and what happens there. So, and I know there is some planning behind all of this. We only see one picture in the newspaper. We move through uncertain times, and it is so good that we can have this, we can come together, it is possible for us. Let us use this every moment of it to our full capacity.